as you mentioned earlier, Louise, we have a guest in the studio. Ian Walker has generously agreed to give us some time and come and visit us here in the studio at 76 Main Street East in Van Cleek Hill. Welcome, Ian.
It's a real honor to be here, like really an honor. I'm super excited.
Wow. Well, that's nice to hear. It's always nice to have somebody from our community come in and join us live at the microphone here at our little operation on Main Street in Van Cleek Hill. And you came in early so that you could sort of take in the sights and sounds of our little radio station. So what do you think so far?
Well, as I said, I'm honored. I think it's a great little place, the whole review of what's going on with the newspaper and that now what you're doing, like this state-of-the-art radio station in Van Cleek Hill.
It's called Convergence, you know? You take a 125-year-old newspaper and you sort of drag it kicking and screaming into the 19th century anyway.
I'm aware of that feeling, yes, running a business, yes.
It's putting them all together. It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Every day's fun.
Like I said, we're really happy to have you here. And I think, Louise, you're going to take it from here and give us a little introduction on the reason why we invited Ian over.
Yes, we were at the Raceville Fair on Friday evening, and Ian is Mariposa Farm, and they were serving a delicious plate of food, which we will get to later. Mm-hmm. But the real thing was that was coming up, that was in the past, today is today, and the United Counties approved its official plan. And an official plan is a big deal, and it's an even bigger deal if you think that official plan is going to contain some zoning, some different designations for land that might affect you. We always talk about not in my backyard, but I do not cover counties council on a regular basis. So today I blew in there and the meeting was over in an hour.
Because Therese is on holidays.
And it was very smooth, and this controversial story, which has been on the pages of our paper more than once, you would never have known it by the wonderful fluidity with which this whole thing happened. But of course, there were a lot of, they call them activists for a reason, but there were a lot of active people behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I'm just going to maybe ask Ian to explain what it was you were working for and why. Maybe you can explain that to the listeners.
Well, the area that is now known as the Justice Falls Escarpment also has a large amount of ANSI on it, provincial ANSI and regional ANSI. And that's a very complicated thing, but it's actually quite simple. But it has no power in the political world, unfortunately. But what it does is it signifies the highlights of the area. So there's a few highlights in this area.
Remind us what the acronym stands for, the ANSI, just so, for people who don't
know. Area of Natural Scientific Interest.
Yes, yes.
And so it can be a provincial ANSI, or it can be a regional ANSI. And then within those ANSIs, it can be a ground earth science ANSI, or it can be a plant science ANSI, or I believe there's those two are the big ones.
But area of significant scientific interest. I think that's just like, you know, it's really good to let that soak in a little bit and have people sort of acknowledge, you know, that it's what it means, you know.
It's very significant.
Yeah,
it's actually, as it has been pointed out many, many times, it is more significant than La Rose Forest.
Hmm.
As an area of heritage area in this area,
yes.
It is more significant because it's more fragile.
And it's not man-made either.
And
it's been around for a long time.
And it's definitely not man-made. And some of the biggest highlight is there's caves on my land, which makes it the center of the ANSI.
Mm.
There's significant caves. The deepest one in Ontario is on my land, so we're really proud of that. And we really want to protect it. But what this is all part of is why this is an escarpment and why this is an important area is it's all karst. And so karst, you have to understand, is a special kind of rock that is not particularly good to be used on roads, just so we get that clear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also a kind of rock that allows the water to penetrate deeply down in, and it's called a ground recharge area.
Similar to limestone, I guess, that kind of
softer
rock.
It is limestone.
Okay.
Limestone, but in simple terms, it's a very alkalinic limestone.
Oh, okay.
So therefore, as acid rain and et cetera things over the millions of years that it's been there runs down, it forms all these caverns.
Yes.
And so this is, so it's not just an ordinary rock area.
Yeah.
And to put potentially something like an asphalt plant on top of it would be really bad, really potentially bad for the potential of water supply.
It's interesting that you mentioned the caves. Do the caves come out in any other areas closer to the river?
Well, that's the big question. That's what everybody wants to know. There's tons of water that goes down in these caves in the spring. Nobody knows where it's going.
Interesting.
They've done dye tests for the Ottawa River. They've done dye tests for the Nation River.
And they can't trace it.
This was in the 70s, and so all that information is now somewhat irrelevant in the 2015.
Yes.
So they're trying to but it takes lots of money and takes lots of time and I'm not sure that's the right area to get the government to do the right thing. I think we had to concentrate on the right things and focus on the correct things to show the government. And that was water, protecting water, which is, I think, the bottom line as to why the mayors were influenced by everything. We did hydrological studies. We had lawyers and one lawyer involved, and we had a planner involved, which is the real key thing. The planner is going against the United Counties planner, so that makes it difficult.
At least it raised a doubt in their mind, maybe.
Yes,
made them revisit what they were thinking.
No, I think they clearly are nervous of water, nervous of what the implications of if they let this go through, what it'll do to the water supply.
Jessup's Falls is at the the Nation River that goes
through
there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's a tributary to the Ottawa River, right?
Yes, it is.
So that's and where does the cave in your property situate itself in terms of those two rivers where they meet? Are you towards the west a little bit?
2 kilometers east, due east, on the ridge, on the back part of the ridge. It's very elevated. The escarpment is extremely high. When you're on it, it's like, wow, it's very, very high. And
this is a big hill that we go up when we go into Alfred, right? And then we go back down again? Is that the one?
Well, that's part of it, but that's not what specifically is being called the Justice Falls Escarpment.
Okay.
The area is more just being behind Mariposa Farm.
Okay, okay.
And between Mariposa Farm and the bridge.
Right, okay.
It is where it all is,
So do we get a sense of it as we're driving along the Highway 17 towards Ottawa? Do we sort of go like...
You don't really feel it on the road, but you can see that you're in a rocky area before you get the bridge because they've done a little rock excavation.
Okay. So that would be a sign that you're close to the escarpment from the road.
Yes, that whole area in behind.
It's just trying to place it for our listeners if they're not that familiar with the area.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. No,
it's a beautiful area. That's really, it's very special for many reasons, but over time you have to follow what the government's asking and play their way the way they want it, so the special things don't really matter to them. Like they want to know the hard engineer facts about what is happening, and and that's what influences them, and if they were influenced, which I do believe they were a little bit, then that's what was influencing them.
So your group actually hired some professional people to do some studies and how did you manage to pay for that? Did you do some fundraising and that kind of thing, your group?
That is still in. There's a few people that have paid right now, a lot of money, or not a lot of money at all, really. But in the order of $30,000, divided by about 3 people right now, and there is in process a fundraising. We went around to get people, but then we realized we needed a bank account, so we couldn't have a. We didn't want to form a group.
Yeah, didn't want to be that official.
We didn't want to be that official because we were being pushed by the government to become one group to talk to them, and so obviously that's the wrong thing to do. They have to deal with 40 screaming mouths rather than one screaming mouth.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And so that's the principle of not being a group. But so now there is a group just registered within the last week. And so if you want to give money, then we can give you a name.
Do you have an official name of the group, I mean? Did the group...
Are you on Facebook to celebrate your victory?
We don't... We'll get back to the victory because it's not a victory yet by any means. I can't remember the name of it. Sorry. It's called Jessup Action or something like that.
Okay.
But I'm sorry, I forget the name of it. I'm really embarrassed to say.
No, that's okay. We could probably track it down
That's not my department. I'm not looking after it. Somebody else is looking after that.
I was asking actually when we were preparing for this interview if the citizens group had actually come up with a name for themselves, an acronym or something, and
even this name, like this NZAP, which is the
that's what I'd heard,
which is the name of the website. This one is a different one. There's still no group like this. If you have a question, you wouldn't go see the president of this group.
Okay, because very ad hoc.
It's just the way playing the game, the way the government wants us to play the game, because we have to have a corporation and we have to. We have to spend $1,000 in getting a name, which is really frustrating when we don't have tons of money.
Mm-hmm. And
But now, there's that is filling up very quickly, that account, and there's people that are going around collecting the money from the people that have said they wanted to put money into the situation and to help it. And so there's that we're not worried about getting the money back. I guess just to back up why we did it, because there was a time in May when we were very nervous that things might be going the wrong way in the early days of the urban planning meetings. And so at one point, my wife, Suzanne Lavoie, who was very involved with it, and Rock Sear came out of a meeting. And when they, in simple terms, when they got out of the meeting, they told me to shoot everything. And to go for broke. And so we at that point, because we were really nervous that things were going the wrong way, and it became very clear that Mr. Proa was coaching the mayors to not do what they wanted to, vote against the mineral extract of the area. So it was very important that we did everything we did. And so at that point, we hired a planner and we hired a lawyer, and we did very well. Rock Sear, who also works on it, did very well in finding some really top-notch lawyer and a really top-notch planner.
I don't know if we've actually mentioned what the contentious issues are here. Why don't you just give a little bit of, without getting into too much detail, there is a resource.
An aggregate resource
area, and that person wants to build an asphalt plant on that property. Is that right?
And I think we have to back up further.
Okay. Give us a history.
So there was a Stantec report that was done by the United Counties. In this Stantec report, it said very clearly that there's rock in this area. So keep in mind that they got paid the Stantec got paid $150,000 to do an area the size of Prescott Russell and to do a good job. There were some dubious things that were brought up at the time that I brought up to the mayors of the time with regards to payment of this Stantec report. But this Stantec report has to be questioned. Like why is it got all this rock on it? So let's keep going and assume that the Stantec report is right. Mm-hmm. And so it showed that there was rock in this area. And according to Mr. Provo, we have to identify rock is rock. And so that's what his reason was for saying we have to put it in there. Mm-hmm. But the problem with that is then if you identify it as rock is rock, then it's zoned rock is rock, and so therefore you can do anything you want on rock is rock.
Because the province has very, very aggressive rules and laws about that, right?
That's right. So that's why Mr. Provo was saying that we have to put it on there, and the mayors were saying, no, we don't. Mm-hmm. So they have not put it on there. That's why I say we have not won the war. I'd rather not think of it as a war or a battle. I would just like to think of it as progress in the protection of water in the Justice Falls area. This is what I'd like to see it as. But so the next step is now, after the mayors have done what I believe, that which is what the people want, which is hopefully what will happen. Now it has to go to the province with the one window system.
Is this the Ontario Municipal Board?
Ontario Municipal Board, and they have to approve it or disapprove it. According to Mr. Provo, they will disapprove it, but according to our information and our planner, they are clearly very wrong if they approve it, but they won't approve it. We believe that it's going to go through the province. It would be really nice if we had some support from Mr. Crack, but that is non-existent.
Hmm.
Non-existent at this time.
Wow. Is he aware of the issue? Does he know the details?
Oh yeah. No, I don't know to what extent he knows the details or what extent he's aware of the issues. He was certainly more aware when Jean-Marc Lalonde was in the mayor, because they were buddy buddies. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the present mayor is such a liberal buddy, as more of a conservative buddy. Mm-hmm. So I don't know to what extent he knows the juicy details like he would have done when Jean-Marc Lalonde was in, when Jean-Yves Lalonde was in power.
What do you think the overarching values or principles are of the whole emplacement? I know you've been talking about some of them, but that you hope will convince the OMB to rule in favor of the citizens' position. Is it the environmental sensitivity of the land, or is it that it's not a viable place for industrial kind of activity? Or
I'd like to think that the bottom line is that that we have done enough work to show that the people have spoken through the mayors, and that the province will listen to us because we have spoken, the people have spoken. However, the province will hopefully approve it based on the information they've got, which is water-related, mostly water-related issues, hydrological studies, where the water, this is where they're proposing to put an asphalt plant, is very high on the rock. There's less than 1 kilometer to the Nation River, less than 1 kilometer to the Ottawa River. It's right on top of karst. If there's a drop of oil that spills on the ground, it goes in and contaminates the water.
It's incredibly porous, right?
It's very porous. So it's just a bad location. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with not in our backyard. Of course it is, because we don't want our water screwed up, but this is a massive amount of water that if the potential dam, just a bad place. There's many good places, and this is a bad place. And I think our mayor has pointed that out several times as well, that there are places for this kind of activity. This is just not one of them. And I think and assume, based on all the reports that we have paid for, the hydrological study specifically, that they have to agree with us. And also, there's many other little things that are less respected, but are supposed to be respected at the provincial level with regards to endangered species, which this area is loaded with it, because it has not been farmed forever, because it's all rock on that thing, on that hill, on the escarpment, so it's very protected. This first growth forest, which is in that area,
still there. Wow.
Which is still there. Wow. And that is what that is back to the asphalt plant lot, which is part of lot 18. They have clear cut that area in spite of the fact it's an ANSI. So they've cut down all these first growth forest, this first growth trees, and it's ANSI and it's protected. So now we have asked the government, what are you going to do now? What's your next step? You have to do rehabilitation to this area.
So if they are not allowed to go ahead with the asphalt plant, does that mean that it won't even be an aggregate resource kind of operation? They won't be allowed to extract gravel or rock or anything from
no,
it?
No. Okay. They're not supposed to out of that area.
Okay.
That's the whole protection of it. Is it'll stay like that.
I just like to say, you know, we've seen this before where there's a decision moving forward and taxpayers or citizens intervene, whether they're first, it comes to your attention because it is close to home, but sometimes they're, you know, sometimes it is sort of frivolous what citizens are saying. They just don't want it no matter what. But in this case, you gather the evidence. But how can it be, I wonder, that taxpayer money is used on a report that doesn't bring this evidence forward and that you have had to do it? Because Prévost is saying, oh, the province wants aggregates identified. But if it's an aggregate and then it's a different
environmentally fragile place, then
have to wonder
what kind of study we got for $150,000.
Yeah. Well, I think it's very clear that they did the best they could, because that's not very much money.
It's a big area to cover.
To cover that huge area, and so you have to
dig deeper. So
you have to
literally
dig deeper. There was, with that report, there was a few other issues. For example, in the executive summary at the beginning, you're supposed to do a public review. Well, they didn't do the public review, and so they just ignored it. They simply did not do it. And so that was very frustrating for us.
So there was no public review.
We had no chance to question any information that was on there.
Or have input into it.
Onto the Stantec report.
Yeah. I think this would be a good spot to take a little musical break, and then we'll come back with our guest, Ian Walker.
Riders on the Storm. So I've got a rider on the storm here with me who wants a simple life.
Riding the storm,
but
for sure.
Before life gets simple, are there any next steps or what comes next? You've got this decision from the counties, and now there's an OP, official plan, which has to be approved by the province. And
is it going to be challenged, or is it going to go through, do you think?
Well, it depends who you talk to. I think we have a very strong mayor. According to him, it'll just go right through the province and be no problem. You get other information from different sources, and it could be challenged. Obviously, if you listen to what Mr. Prévost has to say, then he will tell us that it's going to be changed. So we don't really know. And as I said, it would be really convenient if Mr. Crack would get involved.
Yes.
But I've called to Mr. Crack several times. He has decided not to return my phone calls. I'm a very busy guy, and I don't want to You only have so much time to spend on so many things. Yes, so if somebody's not with you, then...
But at the moment, when the province has to make a determination on this one way or the other, then surely he's going to have to get involved. He's going to have to put his either approval or disapproval on
you
it.
You would like to think so, wouldn't you? And then hopefully he'll vote for the people. But
yes.
However, time will tell, and we'll see what how he gets involved. In the meantime, I don't think it's necessary that he gets involved. From his point of view, he can just sit back and see what his people are doing, and hopefully they will make the right environmental decisions. But basically what we have is we have about a year and a half. We expect we don't really know, because this is the government and they say something, but they don't ever stick to it, it seems.
Yeah.
We've learned that with United Counties. They'll drop a date as to when the OP will be ready. And I think they should learn to not drop a date because they
really don't know.
Because they don't seem to really know. And likewise, I don't think anybody really knows when the province, because they're all very hardworking people, and I don't know when they'll have it out.
Okay. Well, a story to follow for sure. We'll be paying close attention to how this evolves over the next year and a half or so, and keeping our readers up to date.
And then once it gets that decision gets made, then we can talk about who's going to go to OMB. Mm-hmm. Because perhaps if the province comes back and agrees with the mayors, then that would be fantastic. Then anybody that doesn't like that decision would have to take the province to the OMB.
Yeah, or vice versa. Whichever way it goes, it's very likely that the person or organization that doesn't get the ruling in their favor is going to challenge it. Probably.
Well, once again, our mayor says that he seems to think that they're worn out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It seemed pretty calm this morning, but before we wrap up this part of the discussion, I wanted to ask, would you have any advice for others? You know, I'm sure you had dark hours through this. It's a long haul. Everybody's busy earning a living and they're having to deal with big stuff and you're not getting paid for it. It's all volunteer stuff. So what's, you know, maybe it's about how to get started, how to keep going, or...
I think we were really, really lucky because everybody loved doing different things. So Suzanne, my lady and my lover, she is really, really good at collecting things and putting things together and writing very politically correct statements to the government and statements to the media. And so that was what she was very good at. Rock Sear is very, very good at going and
you
getting...
You had somebody called Rock involved in your...
Yes, Rock Sear.
Good.
Perfect name.
Yeah, his just like going straight ahead is phenomenal as far as finding all these things. I just like to get people together, and I love painting signs. And so that's an important part
your contribution.
That's largely my contribution.
Well, I'm sure you were up to much more than that.
Things to say on the signs. But that was when we got a phone call from Mr. Crack, actually. He didn't like our Kiss Our Asphalt plant signs very much. So I told him, well, thank you for letting me know, and I'll take it down for you, Mr. Crack. So I changed the sign for him, because I do want to be respectful to all these government people as much as possible. I guess how to help people to do it, and the bottom line is this is a really bad location to do this kind of work. So everything was in our favor, if you like, to make it not by any means easy, but certainly fun and always delightful. I think incredibly the media has an incredible strong power. And I'm not sure what to say about them, but if they got off track, which they did several times, different kinds of media, certainly not the Review ever. It was their coverage was always fantastic, but some of them were getting off track and thinking that the deal was done, where clearly it is not done. It is now we're working on it.
Oh, good.
And so I don't know. It just stick together as a community, and we had up to 30 people working and on this, and everybody's got their own little specialty, and everybody's putting complaints in at the government, so that was making them crazy, having all these individuals. But they, after a while, you realize that individuals don't have a whole bunch of power, but what has power is engineers' studies and studies that they respect. That's what they really has. Like then they stand back and say, "Oh, okay." Just a whiny person.
But the real power is the people coming together, like as you said, and getting organized and having a common cause. And we were saying this before we went on the air tonight, that it's really reassuring for me personally to see that still has an impact, still has an effect, and can actually make changes. You know, it's really good to know that, you know, in this day and age with,
when you feel unilateral, when you feel that everything is a fait accompli and you can't fight studies that
when we have meetings, which is usually once a month or so, and everybody's there, I always remind everybody, because sometimes people are getting discouraged, that I say, you know, if this wasn't happening, I wouldn't know all my neighbors like I know my neighbors today.
Interesting.
And this is really, really important. Yeah. And everybody realizes that, that this is brought, like, you know, my neighbor across the street, we always got along, Francois Delorme, we always got along, but we wouldn't really see each other. Now we see each other and his wife once a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really nice to see each everybody.
Yeah.
And other neighbors, which are classic, like I've lived in my area for a long time, but some of these people that move in and then move out, well, some of them that have moved in, well, I've got to know some of them as well, which is, it's super nice. It's really a nice thing.
It's a funny thing about when you work on any, when everybody's got the same focus.
Yeah.
You find that commonality, and sometimes I always hear that from people when I say, well, what was the turning point, or what, you know, what's the secret to your, and they say that often, you know, you hear that from groups, like people get closer, the group gets stronger, and it's, you almost become unstoppable, you know, you're all lined up in the same direction.
Well, you give them the right rules. We're not using nasty things to win a battle.
No, you care for the right reasons.
We're trying to do it and play the game, as we say, the way the government wants the game played.